Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to continue looking at the formula that God, that Christ has given the disciples here for a blessed life. Where, you know, here we got the Bible calls them the Beatitudes. And as we look at these, and if we'll take these and apply them to our life, well, life won't always be easy, but I believe that we can say that we're going to live a blessed life. So we'll start in Matthew 5, verse number 1. We've already made it through verse number 12, but I want to reread it just to get our mind back to where we're at. So verse number 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say in all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Verse number 12, just to speak on it just real briefly, you know, it's kind of amazing or kind of hard to swallow, really, when he's talking about being persecuted, when people are coming against you, when they're lying against you, and he says, rejoice. How in the world? No, I'm not going to rejoice. I'm going to retaliate. That's what we think. That's what we want to do. But he says, when people are accusing you falsely, when they're coming against you, when they're persecuting you, he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. You know, and the perfect example of that is when Christ was hanging on the cross, and he looked and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, a lot of times the people who are coming against us, or the people who are aggravating us, or the people who are, it seems like they're attacking us spiritually. You know, there are people who are not spiritual people that are attacking you spiritually, and they're doing it just by day you're running into them, and day by day they're getting on your nerves. And like I said, you may leave church on Sunday and you're in a hallelujah mode, and there's always that one person that you can bump into on Monday, and all of a sudden you're not spiritual anymore. I mean, you're just not feeling it. You're not. Your mind's not in the place that it should be, and you look and you say, "Well, why is that person doing this to me? Or and how am I supposed to rejoice? I want to retaliate or whatever." But you know what? If we were not saved, we'd act like lost people too. You know, and that's the only difference. The only thing of it is sometimes we are saved and we still act like lost people. That's what's wrong with the church a whole lot today. Is even saved people are acting a whole lot like lost people. You know, it's easy when you ever been around those people, you know, maybe sometimes even in the shop, we'll get to talking about the Lord, we'll get to talking about how good God's been to us, or maybe even get to witness to somebody, and God really opened a door, and you just get to tell somebody how good God's been to you, how he can forgive you of their sins, forgive them of their sins, and you'll be having a really good discussion, and there's certain people that can just walk in the room and just kill that. I mean, just, it's gone. And you're like, man, what in the world? They're just lost. They didn't do it on purpose or anything else. And if not for us being saved, we would act just like lost people too. Let's move on before I get to where I don't really even want to go tonight. Verse number 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, and to be trodden under the foot of men." Now, we preached a message on salt, I believe it was last year about this time when we had some bad weather. And as you look at this verse of Scripture and here when it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth," what does salt do? Salt has a lot of different attributes that it does or different things that it can do. It adds flavoring. I love salt. If I didn't have high blood pressure, everything I eat would be covered white with salt. I love what salt tastes like. You know what? If you get a good dose of Jesus, you'll love what it tastes like. If people out here just knew what they were looking for, you know, they're looking for peace, they're looking for comfort, they're looking for a good time, and they're looking in all the wrong places because everything that they're looking for is found in Jesus Christ. They don't know that yet. If they ever get to meet him, they'll realize how good a relationship with Jesus Christ feels, and let's just tie it back to this, how good it tastes to be a child of God. It's something that can satisfy you. It's something that nothing else in this world can satisfy except for a relationship with Jesus Christ. So it adds flavor, but it also preserves. You know, I can remember being a young boy, and we'd kill hogs every year. And I can remember going out there and seeing those big slabs of meat, and we was throwing salt on it like crazy. And, of course, you know, that just draws out the moisture so the bacteria don't grow. And, man, it would preserve that meat. It was amazing how to do that. I don't even know if people do that anymore or not. But it's a wonder I didn't die, because I would throw out big handfuls of salt and rub that meat, and then I'd lick my hands. Good. Man, it's a wonder I ain't dead. I don't know if anything can kill me or not as far as food. But that salt will preserve. And I'm glad that I have Jesus Christ living on the inside of me that preserves my life. Look, it melts coldness. We're living in a day and time when we need a lot of coldness melted. We've sort of been talking about that tonight, how that people all of a sudden, man, that's one thing that I love about Christmas and that time of year. It seems like people care about fellow men more so at Christmas. You know, they're looking and they care about people who don't have. They care about people financially. They want to do, well, what's wrong with January? You know, what's wrong with February? Look to your left or to your right, wherever you live at, and I'm sure that you can find somebody that we can have compassion on. And you know, it is supposed to be the Christian people that do that. When we get to the place that we don't have compassion, when we don't have love, you know, the Bible talks about you can do all these amazing things, but if you don't have love, it calls it charity, but if you don't have love, you're just empty. And a lot of times, I know, I've been there too, we get to the place that we're just empty and we're not acting with love like Christ wants us to. But then I want you to know something else that salt does. Salt heals wounds. You ever had an old place on you that wouldn't heal? Maybe it was a blister, maybe it was whatever. I used to get poison oak really bad, and it would like just almost be like a sore on me. But if I could get to the beach and get in the ocean, it was healed. I've even been before and had an old sore in your mouth that you couldn't get healed. If you go to the ocean and swallow a little bit of that salt water, I don't recommend that because everything in the world is in there. But if you just that salt water, it'll heal it. And you know, salt will heal wounds. And I know probably some of you have done it too. I've poured salt in wounds. I've done different things. But that salt will heal a wound. And that's some things that in our life, if we'll have the relationship with Jesus Christ like we should have, even our wounds that we have, the things in our life that maybe from our past that has scarred us from everyday life now that causes wounds in our life, that salt will heal those wounds. That relationship with Jesus Christ can heal those wounds so that it's not something that you just continually have to carry around, that it's not something that you have to continually put up with, but that salt will add flavor and it preserves, it melts coldness and it will heal wounds. But you know what? I met Jesus Christ and he did all of that for me. But now look what he's saying here in verse number 13. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, it's not that I can preserve, or it's not that I can heal a wound, or it's not that I can melt coldness or add flavoring, but I can reflect Jesus Christ, and I can give other people Jesus Christ so that they can find these same attributes in their life. I can introduce somebody to Jesus Christ so that they can have something that their life can taste good to them, that their life is preserved, that the coldness in their heart can be melted and their wounds can be healed. A lot of times, though, that I'm not doing that, but I believe it is a big part of the formula for me to have a blessed life, for me to have a happy life, is to go out and introduce other people to Jesus Christ, to let his life shine through mine. A lot of times, I don't know about you, but if I have an opportunity and I actually follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and yield myself to him, and I'm out somewhere and I talk to somebody about Jesus, or I help someone, hey, they may have got a blessing for whatever I've done, but I guarantee you I got a bigger blessing. I mean, you can almost, it just gives you joy on the inside. If you want to live a happy and a blessed life, then we need to live a salty life. We need to live a life that Jesus Christ is coming out of our life, that we're reflecting him in our life, that we, because look what it says. It says, if the salt has lost his savor, it doesn't say savior, it says savor, or if you've lost your saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? Where is this lost in the dying world going to see Jesus if we quit being salty? You know, somebody was talking to me about the message Sunday, and they said, I like this way that sometimes that you just put the truth out there. It's just blunt, and you don't have to guess where anybody stands. It is what it is. But you know what? We're living a day and a time where even Christian people, we're not salty like we're supposed to be, and we even give mixed messages out here in the world. We say, boy, God is good with our head hung down. We say, God is wonderful while we're worrying about political mess. We say that God has been so good to us while we're complaining about our job, or while we're complaining about how long the preacher preached, or while we're complaining about the supper that our wife cooked. As long as my microwave works, I'm in good shape. Cereal, I can eat that too. There's no reason for some of the things that we do. We say that God is good and that God is awesome, and then we portray a life out here to a lost and a dying world that we're just as miserable as they are. Actually, the world acts happier than we do a whole lot of times. It's Wednesday night, we gotta go to church. Anybody thought that? I gotta go to church tonight. Sure we have. Oh man, if I don't go to church, that preacher will preach about me Sunday. He'll say I wasn't there. I know he will. And we get to the place that we're moaning and complaining about things that we're supposed to be salty in. That a lost, we ought to be going, man, we got church tonight. I know it's been a tough week, but we're going to go, and whether the preacher makes any sense or not, we're going to get to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Bible tells us that if we come together where two or three are gathered in his name, that he'll be in the midst. So even after the preacher just gets up there and talks, and we'll all get to fellowship for a little bit, we'll get to... I'm not going to ask y'all for it. We're not even going to take up an offering tonight. How about that? That's not even Baptist-like, is it? But instead, man, it's cold, and we got to go. I've worked all week. Hey, I even thought on my way home tonight, there are people who actually go home on Wednesday night, and they sit in their recliner, and they either watch a little TV or sit by the gas logs and just let that thing roar and get warm. That all sounds good, don't it? But you know what? That's not going to make me not one bit more salty. This will make me a little more salty. This will give me time with my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And hopefully tomorrow that I'll let a little of this salt out while I'm out in a lost and a dying world. I hope so. It says, if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Look what he says next. Not only are we supposed to be salty, but we're supposed to be the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Now we know that Jesus Christ is the light. We know that we are just a reflection of him. But look, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. I was talking to a guy just this week, and he was telling me about somebody that he worked with on third shift way back in the day. And he said, we worked down there at the mill for I couldn't tell you how long. And he said, we'd worked together for years. And he said, and one day he told me he was a preacher. And he said, I looked at him and said, I didn't even know he was a Christian. And this guy, I had heard the guy tell the story, the same story one day. The guy that was a preacher, and he was laughing about it. Which, I mean, you know, whatever. It's been years ago, and it's in the past. And I'm not saying that we got to walk around in ties and carry our little Bibles up under our arms, and we got to rebuke everybody or glory hallelujah all day long. But church, there should be something different about us. There should be a little light that shines somewhere or another. You know what? We're living in a dark world. Amen? We're living in a dark, and if you're in a really dark place, if we cut all the lights out in here tonight, and we're in a really dark place, if you just took out the smallest little light, we all would see it. You know what? We're living in a really dark world, and sometimes we're not even just a really small light for people to know that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of us. And you say, well, preacher, what does that have to do with living a blessed life? I believe that if we live in a way that shines Jesus's life and we shine his light in our life, I believe that we'll be a happier, more blessed people. Amen. You know, having compassion and all those things are wonderful. And that is an attribute that we'll have if we're shining the light of Jesus Christ in our life. But if you'll go out and you'll let Jesus's light shine through your life, I believe with all of my heart that you'll be a happier, more blessed Christian, that you will live a life that maybe not be easier, but you'll live a life that's happier, that you'll live a life that you feel more blessed. Let's continue reading. Verse number 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light show shine before men. Look, I'm going to say this. Last Wednesday, Robert and Joanne wasn't here. And this is what I mean about the preacher calling you out. So I think it was Thursday. sometime. I text Robert and I said, hey, man, everything okay? Yeah, I went to church last night. Just concerned. And I felt stupid doing that, really, in one way, because I don't want somebody to think just because they missed one service, preacher's going to call them. It wasn't that at all. I was really concerned about them. But you know what? You're living your life in a way that you're supposed to, that when you miss church, people notice it. Now, I'm going to say this, but there's people that go to church here that they miss a service and nobody ever realizes it because they haven't been to the other six either. They haven't been the other, and the preacher, you're getting off on a tangent. No, I'm not. But I'm going to tell y'all something. Sitting at my desk at the place where I work at, doing the rat race that I do all day long, does not increase my desire to let my light shine. It increases my desire to throw staplers against walls. It increases my desire to talk ugly. I don't talk ugly, but it increases my desire to. Those words, you know, that go through here and you go, whoo, that shouldn't have went through my mind. It increases my desire to not like people. It does a whole lot of things that I won't get into. I'm done went far enough. I won't go any further. But I tell you what, coming here with y'all, that increases my desire to let my light shine. That increases my desire to let other people know that Jesus Christ is the best thing that's ever happened to me. It says, don't hide it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So he's saying, look, all that stuff in the Old Testament, those laws that were established, he said, I'm not come to do away with those, but he said, I'm come to fulfill those. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall nowise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. A whole lot of this scripture here don't need a lot of explanation. It's pretty straightforward. Verse number 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. You know what? That's all they had, is their own righteousness, their own good works. He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know how your righteousness exceeds what he's talking about here, the scribes and the Pharisees? Jesus Christ. When God looks at me and he don't see my righteousness, but he sees the blood of his darling son in my life, that's when my righteousness exceeds others' good works. Because you can do all the good works that you'd want to do and it's still not enough. Verse number 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. You remember last week when we were talking about the way that we can live a more blessed, a happier life, is a lot of times in correspondence of how we react with others or how we respond to others. There are people that's going to just try to get a kick out of you or try to get you tore up, just to say. There are people who will try to get you to the place to where you say or do something that you shouldn't do so they can go tell other people that you said or did something you shouldn't do. They are those people there. So here again, he's going to tell us about kind of interacting with others, but also interacting with our own selves. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that I was saved at 7 years old. I know that Jesus Christ moved into my life, that he forgave me of my sins, that he has never left me, never forsaken me. But you know what? My flesh still tries to rise up. That old man, you know, the Bible talks about letting the old man die and letting that new man show up. But sometimes my old man is pretty strong and my old man rises up and I have to battle him from the inside. Verse number 22, look, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca. Now look, I had to look that one up. Literally in the Aramaic language, that means empty head. I know some people that I'd like to say, call them old empty head. I may have to use that sometime, Raca. They won't have a clue what I'm talking about. They'll just think I'm talking gibberish and I'm calling them stupid, just as hard as I can go. He says, but whosoever shall to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Look, what's happening in verse number 23? Somebody has got an aught. Look, it says, if you remember that your brother have an aught against you, but it can go either way. You remember that somebody is upset with you, or that you're upset with somebody. And in verse 23, what's happening is they're bringing a gift to the altar to try to soothe their conscience. They're going to come to the altar and they're going to give a gift to God, and that's just going to mend it all. But God says, that's not how this works. Yeah, you might can be mended, your relationship with God might can be mended, but look what he says. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave therefore thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Again, that goes back to how we act and how we interact with other people. Leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. Now look, have you ever tried to reconcile with somebody that just absolutely they was not going to have reconciliation? Sure, I have too. Just this past week, I seen a friend of mine come to me, and he was a little bit upset. He wasn't too tore up, but somebody had put something about him on Facebook. Imagine that. The place where cowards dwell, Facebook. So somebody put something about him on Facebook, and he was a little bit tore up about it. And this person even told me, he said, look, I have texted him once or twice saying, hey, man, if there's something up, let's make it right. No, he didn't want none of that. He just wanted to go on Facebook and make a remark, just a general remark. Man, racka. That's what you want to say to people like that. Empty head. You know, and that kind of stuff happens. He tried to reconcile. Look, if people will not reconcile to you, I don't think God hangs that on your head and goes, here, now you got to put up with that. You've done everything that you can. But he says, leave thy gift before the altar and go that way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Verse 25, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Verse number 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. See, a lot of times we judge people because of outward actions when we need to check up on the inside ourselves. You know, the difference between, my brother done a lot of things that he shouldn't have done when he was growing up. Not to say that I didn't, I'm getting to that here in just a minute. But my brother was not good at hiding anything. He got caught at absolutely everything he did. And a lot of times, look, the difference between me and you and people who are in jail tonight or got things, they got caught and we didn't. I've never had a speeding ticket. Make sure I'm telling the truth. Yep, never had a speeding ticket. But it ain't because I ain't never sped. And tonight, you know, a lot of times the things that we're passing judgment on other people for, we've either been there and done that and we just didn't get caught. Or God knows our heart. God knows that maybe that desire has been there. And look what he says here. He says, ye have heard that it was said the old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. In other words, if there's anything that offends your relationship with Christ and living this blessed, happy life that he's telling the disciples, he's giving them the formula for, he said, whatever it is that's keep you from doing it, get rid of it. I mean, he went to the extreme. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Anybody ever plucked your eye out? No, I can tell by looking at it. But I know a guy that did one time. He stuck a fork in his eye. I mean, he wasn't in the right frame of mind, but he stuck a fork in his eye and popped that baby out. And I'm going to tell you, to this day, there's still a big scar there from that. That's not something that heals very well. But God says here in his word to us, he says, whatever it is that offends you, no matter the consequence, you get rid of that. He says, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Look, I want to give you an option. Let's not cut hands off and pluck eyes out. let's give us ourselves an option. For you that have Christian spouses, in most cases this will work. Start an accountability with each other. Look, there was something that I was having some trouble with in my life one time. Not just one time, but I'm talking about one specific time here. And I went to my wife, and I said, come here, I need to talk to you a minute. And anytime I say that to Autumn, you know, I can see her eyes get this big around. She's wondering what in the world's going on. And I said, I need you to know something. I said, this is giving me trouble, and I want to make it clear to you that this is giving me. I've told you about it before, about at one time how alcohol got to smelling good to me, and I never drank a drop in my life, but at one time it got to where it's. And I said, look, honey, I said, I want to tell you something, because I need some accountability. I need somebody else to know that this is bothering me. There's nothing wrong with it. And sometimes maybe your spouse is not the best person. You should be able to share about anything with your spouse. But even as James has told us in our men's group, how he has accountability partners. And man, there's just sometimes, instead of plucking your eye out or cutting your hand off, go find somebody and say, look, I'm struggling with this right now. And it is keeping me from having the blessed life that I need to have. It's keeping me from having the happy Christian life. It's affecting my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe if I set up some accountability between me and you with this, then my phone might go out. Hallelujah, brother. So, hey, if you're having trouble with things that come on television, tell one of your good Christian brothers to call you every two or three days and say, hey, man, what'd you watch last night? Hey, don't think that won't make you think about what you're watching on TV, because you're going to do one of two things. You're going to change your habits, or you're going to start lying too. Right? One of two things is going to happen. If we do these things that God give us in His Word, if we want to be salty, if we want to shine the light of Jesus Christ, if we want to live that blessed, happy life, then we need to follow what God's telling us in His Word. He didn't tell us these things to keep us from having a good time. He told us these things to protect us and help us to have a strong relationship with Him. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings, God. I don't feel worthy to stand here and teach this message tonight, God. God, there's so many things in my life that I need help with. I need accountability, God. I need to live that blessed, happy life. I need to let Your light shine. I need to be more salty. God, I pray, dear Father, that You'll just help me in every aspect of my life, that I will be in a place that not only will my relationship with You be strong, but I'll be giving You glory and pointing others to the cross of Christ. God, thank You for fellowship. God, thank You for everyone here. This is my family, God, and I want to thank You for putting me here with them. And God, I pray that You'll bless us, help us to be everything that You would have us to be. Give us a desire for lost people. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.